At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Movies with My Mother. I, of course, am Lexi.
And I'm Mom Lori.
And we had taken a bit of a sick leave. Mom has been sick.
Sorry.
So we're back. We're back, we think.
Back and strong.
Sure.
I'm strong.
Okay. All right, sure, if you say so.
Yeah.
But we think we're back. We think we're going to get back on track.
Yep, we will.
And today we watched The Terminator.
Wow.
Coming out swinging.
Yes, yes, we did.
It's from 1984,
mm-hmm.
Rated R. It was an hour and 47 minutes long, and it was directed by James Cameron.
Yes.
This movie got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What?
Yeah.
You are kidding me.
An 84 on Metascore, which I feel like might be the highest we've ever seen.
I think so. Most of the movies we watch are in the 60s.
Right, right. And an 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb. And I feel like that's a little on the low side.
Oh, yes. What do you mean? 8?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, I'm shocked.
They made this on, like, no money.
Right.
I have a budget of about $6.4 million.
That's, I had read that, yes.
And I have worldwide gross around $78.3 million.
Wow. Yes, that's what I wrote down.
So for 1984, that's big money.
That is really big money. And, you know, $6 million, they used $5 million in bullets. Holy cow.
Basic plot is that a human soldier is sent from 2029 to 1984 to stop an almost indestructible cyborg killing machine, also sent from 2029, programmed to execute a young woman whose unborn son is the key to humanity's future salvation.
That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Star-studded cast. I guess they're all considered big stars now.
Oh.
Maybe at the time, not so much.
Yeah.
Arnold was probably the biggest name in the movie at the time.
Yeah, because he was doing other movies at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I'm going to say that would be a correct phrase.
So, it starred Arnold Schwarzenegger, Michael Biehn, Linda Hamilton,
mm-hmm.
Paul Winfield, Lance Henriksen,
mm-hmm.
Earl Bowen.
Yeah.
Franco Columbu, I think is what I wrote.
Yeah.
And there's a small appearance by Bill Paxton as one of the punks in the beginning.
Yep.
Bill Paxton just comes in everywhere. He died after a surgery. It was horrible. Real, like 59 years old, real young.
Oh, no. Complications of a surgery?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
God, probably about 10 years ago now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
What do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about how much you liked it?
Crazy, huh?
Shocked.
I did.
Hands off me.
I only covered my eyes twice.
Yeah, and the second time you were like, yeah, I can't watch this. And I'm like, dude, it's a rubber mask. It is 100% a rubber mask we're watching.
Oh, my God. It was so fake.
But in 1984, that was top-notch shit.
You betcha. You betcha. Absolutely. That is crazy.
I found a reel on how they made the Terminator. So I'll have to put that on the Facebook page because I thought it was so cool. They made like a full cast of Arnold and like they poked individual hairs in his head.
Oh my God.
It's crazy. The detail that went into this.
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I did read a, you know, we got to Arnold as the Terminator.
Yeah.
They talked to Sting to do
Sting?
That. Sting. But
off of Dune?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
But he didn't want to work with some unknown director. And at the time, Cameron was new.
Yeah.
So, Stallone, Mel Gibson.
I saw that.
O.J. Simpson.
O.J. Simpson. Did you read the thing about O.J. Simpson? I wrote it down because it's so fucking funny to me. O.J. Simpson was considered for the Terminator, but producers feared he was too nice to be taken seriously as a cold-blooded killer.
That's what I have. He wouldn't be a believable killer.
But in 1990, before the first trial, Dark Horse Comics printed issues of a Terminator comic with his likeness as a Terminator.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah, and I keep getting emails about the Terminator 40th anniversary edition. Like, something is going on for the Terminator's 40th anniversary that just keeps popping up in my emails.
Oh my gosh, isn't that weird? Yeah. I wonder why. Well, you know, I know I have this somewhere. This is another movie that was chosen to go into the... Oh, come on, help me out.
To be
here.
Preserved in the National Archives or whatever?
Yes. Yes. Where did I write that? I know that I have it. Oh, in 2008, the movie was chosen for the National Film Registry. Culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant.
It's cool as hell. It spawned about 15 sequels.
Oh, at least. I am just really surprised that I liked it.
Yeah.
Number one, I don't really much care for Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's just not even interesting to me. And we just talked about this. He's only 6'2".
Yeah.
What? What?
Arnold on screen is a very imposing character, but to think about it in real life, he's only 6'2". That's shorter than Big Daddy.
MG. I'm just shocked. I'm still shocked about it.
So to think of Arnold Schwarzenegger as just an average size man,
yes,
is crazy.
Oh man, it's just
an average sized man.
Yeah, he is.
Is just built.
Yeah, yeah, with a funny accent.
I read, and I don't know what movie this was for, but there was a movie that he had done. And he had offered to do the German reading for the German dub.
In German?
In German.
Does he really speak German?
Yes.
Okay.
Because he's from Austria.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he really speaks German.
That's basically what they speak there.
I know. I know that.
And I don't remember the exact wording that I read because it was very classily said. But they basically said that his accent was too provincial to be used as the dub.
Oh, my.
Like, they basically called him a hillbilly.
Oh, dear. But, you know, I know that that's the truth. French and German and all those, what do they call them, romance languages?
Uh-huh.
That is a big part of the language.
The way you speak it?
The way you speak it.
I thought it was so funny. A native-born speaker with an accent that wasn't good enough to do...
To do the
dub.
The language.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. That is crazy. That is crazy, isn't it?
I don't know what movie it was for. I wish I could remember. But that little story has always stuck in my mind. Just like, oh, and also a star of that magnitude. How do you tell them you're basically a hillbilly, bro? We can't use your voice.
That's funny. That's funny. Well, you know, I get it. I get it. Sometimes when I listen to our podcasts at home, I think, my gosh, I don't sound like I have any enthusiasm for the job. Do I sound like that to you? Like,
no.
I sound so monotone sometimes. And I'm thinking, how do you even make your whatever it is that makes you your language different?
I don't know. Inflection?
Inflection, I guess that would be, but I think I have that.
I know for a fact that we're both sitting here having a good time. So I never worry about the fact that are we really having a good time as we're doing this? Like, I don't. All I can hear are like the gaps in the laughing that these microphones don't pick up.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So that's all I'm listening for.
So maybe we're provincial.
Maybe.
Oh, well. I really tried hard living in Southern Ohio that you children did not have that Southern accent. So
I think more than anything, we sound Canadian.
Oh, okay. Eh? Do we? You know, I know. I think in my head that we sound different than other people that I know.
Because we're in that part, that weird part of the Midwest that isn't quite Midwest, but isn't Canadian and isn't
Eastern.
Eastern, and we're not definitely not Southern.
Right.
So I think we're in that weird, that, and we're definitely not from Michigan. Michiganders have their own language.
They sure do, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I don't understand half of it. But, you know, we're in that weird spot where we sound like a little bit of everything.
Yeah, and the fact that my parents came from such different parts of the country. You know, my mom's from Pennsylvania. My dad is from, well, my dad was born in Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. But they moved to the St. Louis area not long after that. So that's a whole different language out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a way of speaking. And then there's me, and then there's you. And having grown up, really, you grew up in Southern Ohio. You know, you had all of that to listen to.
Yeah.
You know, and sound like. So weird, weird. I find that fascinating. So. I hope you all out there can understand what we're saying and not think we're provincial.
There's a meme that comes up every once in a while, and it was just like how I type, and it shows like an elderly woman, and she looks very proper. She's very put together versus how I speak, and it's a picture of Joe Exotic.
Oh my god, that's funny.
That's 100% how I speak.
I think
what
so.
What the fuck is going on?
I get it, absolutely.
But I'm typing, I hope you have a great day, but per my last email.
That's funny. Oh my gosh, that's funny. Yep, absolutely. Okay, let's focus.
Yeah.
Focus. Cameron started writing this, the script for this in 1982.
Okay.
After being inspired by John Carpenter's Halloween. What that would inspire me to write a cyborg movie, I don't know.
Well, think about it. It's a man with his sole task to kill a specific woman, a very specific woman.
My God, yes, you're absolutely
that
right.
That is his sole task in life.
Yes, yes. Oh, my God. I
never would have put it together.
Nope, I didn't put that together.
How many other movies are like that?
Oh my God, probably millions of them. Well, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And he tried selling it around, but you know, nobody was willing to try this new guy, you know.
I also think it's kind of a big idea, you know, cyborgs. That's, in 1984, that's a feat. How much money are you going to need to do something like that?
Right, and I pointed out at the very beginning, this is the thing said 1984 in big letters, big numbers, right at the beginning. Does this have any connection to, you know, 1984? Is that why it started in 1984 and went on? Because, you know, 2029 is only 5 years from now.
Right.
And you know, think about it. We could be in nuclear war in a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely.
The way that there's so many hot spots in the world now, and the fact that everybody has a nuclear bomb.
Right.
So even the small countries have nuclear bombs now. So, you know, kind of scary.
Right. And this, the reason I picked this movie to watch today was because AI is such a hot button issue in today's, I guess, culture. Because, you know, is it going to make people obsolete? Are we going to even need people for anything that we do or watch anymore? Or can we just have everything be AI? And the whole point of this movie is that in 2029, the machines have risen and are taking over. And I mean, we're nowhere near that presently in real life, but could we get there?
Right. Well, I just saw, you know me and my Ancient Aliens show.
Okay.
They had a whole show about robots.
Okay.
And the fact that, you know, all you have to do is look around. I mean, robot technology today is far exceeding anything that people even imagined would happen.
Oh my God, the stuff that I see coming out of like Japan is insane.
Right. There's one guy that has put controls in his robot's face that it will smile. And it has taught it on its computer thing to watch the person it's speaking to and to anticipate smiling when appropriate.
What? Oh my gosh.
I mean, that's something so automatic to us that when we're talking to people and they say something that we like, we automatically smile. Yeah, that's right. You know, and wow.
Yeah.
And that robot, He of course did it in the image of himself, and his cover, his skin cover was this guy's twin. You know, he made it exactly like himself, even down to the glasses that he wore. The robot wore glasses.
Okay.
You know, it was just crazy. I mean, and that stuff is maybe here.
Yeah.
You know, it's here. So what are we doing? You know, maybe you're a robot. Maybe I'm a robot.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I'm not.
And you call places. You don't talk to a person. You talk to a robot.
Yeah.
You know, crazy. It's crazy. So, yeah. And, you know, 1984 was the book. 1984 was so far in the future. And we lived past 1984, and then we had Y2K, and everybody thought the world was going to end then, and you know, it just kept ticking on, and now here we are in 2024. What the hell?
Yeah, it's crazy.
I know. I mean, yeah. So what's next? What's next, Lex?
I don't know. I would like a robot to, like, you know, do my housework and shit. That would be great.
Well, the Jetsons had
Rosie.
Rosie, she cleaned the place. You know, you go in your kitchen and you say, I want a grilled cheese sandwich. And boom, there's a grilled cheese sandwich on your plate.
Well, you can get a Roomba that'll vacuum your floor for you.
That's true.
But I also don't want one of my cat's tails to get sucked up in it. So
I don't think they do.
I also have more hardwood than carpet. So
yeah, me too. And my thought is I'm going to wake up one night and go out into the living room and trip over the Roomba.
Yeah.
That's my thinking. So I don't think I can have a Roomba. Hell, I trip over the cat trees and I know where they all are. You know,
Roomba has like a docking station. Like, just put the docking station somewhere where you wouldn't walk.
Yeah, but it would be out there doing its thing, and I'd trip over it.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
you know, I guess don't you make your Roomba go when you're not there? I mean,
you could.
Wouldn't that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm always at home, so I'd have to do it at night when I'm in bed.
Don't you think it'd be loud though?
No, I don't think they're loud. I wouldn't even think they'd sound like a vacuum sweeper, do you think?
Oh, I don't know.
I've never seen one working. I know people that have them, but I, you know, wow, think of it. There would be no more tufts of hair blowing around your living room. Maybe I do want a room. I went into the kitchen yesterday and here comes a big old tumbleweed of white hair just rolling across the floor. I thought, when did that gather? I've been home for, you know, every day for the last year. Why didn't I see a tumbleweed of hair growing?
I don't know. It's just like they just happen out of nowhere, though.
I think so.
Because I noticed the other day that there was just a big pile of fur. And I was just like, first of all, where did you come from? Second of all, why are you here?
Because all three of your cats are bald.
How is that possible?
I don't know. Like I said, I have one little cat. He's mostly black with a white undercarriage, and all I ever see is white hair blowing around.
Weird.
And on me, white hair covering me. It's just, you know, What can I say? Okay, what else?
I have trivia, but like, I only wrote down a little bit of trivia because all the trivia is in goddamn paragraph form, and I'm sick of writing goddamn paragraphs.
Oh, yeah, I know. Lately, everything is in paragraphs. Schwarzenegger thought this was a stupid movie. At the time, he was doing Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, I just bought those recently. Conan the Barbarian and Conan the Destroyer. I bought both of them.
Right. So he did Terminator thinking, oh, it can't hurt. You know, and I imagine he got paid pretty well. So, you know, what can I say?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because this movie was kind of a waste of his physique. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I feel like he needed to look imposing, but he didn't have to, like, you know, lift a car up off anything. So yep. It was just kind of a waste of having all those muscles.
I guess. I misspoke about Sting.
Oh, okay.
Sting was up for the part of
Kyle Reese. Oh,
yes.
Okay. Yes. That would have made more sense.
Yes. That's 3 pages in. I wrote that. And I knew that Sting was involved here somewhere.
Okay.
So I don't remember what I wrote. Okay. Also for that part, Christopher Reeves.
Matt. Superman. Okay.
Yep. Matt Dillon.
Okay.
Kurt Russell. I don't see that.
Oh, 100%.
You think?
Snake Plissken saving the world? Hell yeah.
Okay. Okay. Bruce Springsteen?
Bruce Springsteen?
Did Bruce Springsteen want to break into the movies?
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Could you imagine Bruce Springsteen the whole time just like talking like this, with his New Jersey accent? Could you imagine?
And he has a certain walk.
He's got that hunch walk.
Yeah.
He's got that. His shoulders are up and out.
They move forward as his feet move forward.
Yeah.
He has that certain walk. I can't even imagine that he would do well in movies.
I also don't want to watch him have sex with Linda Hamilton.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Oh, yeah, we had to see boobies, didn't we?
Yeah, boobies.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Forgot about those. Sorry.
For a movie like this, to only see one set of boobs like 45 minutes in is pretty good.
I know. And even the other couple were having sex we didn't see, you know.
Yeah. That's because they were both wearing the woman's tank top. We talked about that.
Is his head inside her tank top?
Yes. They're both wearing that shirt.
They were both wearing the tank top.
Also, how uninterested in having sex are you that you're listening to music the whole time by yourself? She had a Walkman on the whole time.
And she was dancing.
She was just bopping. She was having more fun with that Walkman than she was with that man.
I think so, but, you know, whatever. I think that they had to sprinkle a little sex in with all the violence. You know, so.
To really earn that R?
Yeah, yeah. They earned that R with all that shooting and bombing.
Or did they have the sex in there, you know, a little something for the ladies, so it's not just a straight action movie?
Oh, I like that theory. That theory's better.
You know, there is a little love story in there.
Yes.
You know, again, Kyle Reese and Sarah Connor.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Well, you know, for that, we loved a lifetime. What the fuck does that mean? You were together for 23 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. One evening to the next. That's it.
What?
Oh, my goodness.
You were talking about Stockholm Syndrome. That is Stockholm Syndrome.
Weird things like that jump into my head when I'm watching. You know, I can't just focus on the movie. I have to think of a million other things.
Right.
You know, so yeah. Oh, okay. OMG. Okay, people who cried out for Sarah.
Okay.
Lisa Langlois was offered the role.
Lisa Langlois.
I don't even. Yeah. Are you going to look her up? I don't think I looked her up.
Hold on. Let me see if the tablet will come to life. Come to life, baby.
But she said no because she was working on another movie. So they asked Jennifer Jason Leigh, Melissa Sue Anderson, Little House on the Prairie girl.
Is that who that is?
I think that's who Melissa Sue Anderson is.
Lisa Langlois. She's just kind of a generic blonde-looking woman.
Okay, let me see. Oh, well, she kind of has that look. Yeah, she has that look. Look up Melissa Sue Anderson. See if I'm thinking right.
Hold on. Melissa Sue Anderson is the first thing that comes up.
Yeah, is that the Little House on the Prairie girl?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't see her, or I can't see her boobies there. Yep. Mm-hmm. Maybe she wanted to break out of that, you know, Little House on the Prairie look.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
Leah Thompson. I know who Leah Thompson
is.
Oh,
she's Marty McFly's mom.
Yep, bouncy, cute. Roseanne Arquette.
Okay.
They all auditioned, but Lynn Hamilton got it.
I don't know if maybe for this movie, but in the second movie, for sure, Linda Hamilton's twin sister is her stunt double.
You know what? I knew that. Have we looked at something else
we've talked
that
about
she's
it.
Been in?
We've talked
okay.
about it before.
Okay.
And the sister just died in the last few years.
Oh, my.
I think her name was Leslie.
Oh, my gosh. That's young.
Yeah.
Can't be as old as me. Wow. Wow. Filming couldn't start for 9 months because Arnold was in a contract and he wasn't allowed to do anything.
Oh.
Must be with that Conan the Barbarian stuff.
Sure, okay.
Because that's what he was doing at the time.
I didn't know that in the 80s they actors were still under contract with places.
Well, you know, that's, yeah, apparently so.
Okay.
So in that time, Cameron worked on other stuff. Rambo. No. I have something written down here I cannot read, so we'll move on. Aliens.
Okay. I feel like that's where Gail Ann Hurd, where I know the name Gail Ann Hurd comes from. She was a co-writer and a producer.
Yes, yes.
I feel like she was intensely involved with the Alien movies.
Yes, and at the beginning when he was writing this Terminator stuff, it was kind of a fever dream type thing.
Okay.
You know, he was sick and he thought of all of this during the time he was sick.
Oh.
But it was going nowhere. So Gail Ann Hurd bought it from him for $1. And helped him work it out.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, so that's how it was really refined. But then, you know, in this 9 months, he was working on it.
I wonder how many other movies just start off as fever dreams.
I would bet probably lots of stuff, you know? Because what else you got to think of when you're sick and you've got a fever? I mean, crazy stuff. You only think of crazy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you've been sick. You know what crazy, crazy stuff you think when you're sick.
Yeah. Okay.
I was just sick. I know all the crazy stuff I thought about. Let's see. And way back then when he was sick, he made a little picture sketch of what he thought the Terminator would look like. And it's Arnold.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
And the robot part too, also.
Neat.
They want the of course, you know, the studio's got to have their hand in it.
Of course.
There was a lot of interference from the studio. They wanted a robot dog. They wanted this and they wanted that. But, you know, they talked about the dogs recognizing the robots. So, you know, why would you have a robot dog?
Well, why wouldn't you? When you can, why wouldn't you?
No. No, absolutely.
I could have robot everything, I would make robot everything. There would be robot monkeys. There would be robot cats. There would be robot mice. I would have robot everything if I were making robots 100%.
Okay. All right.
Robot fish? Why not?
Yeah, robot fish. You can get them for your cats and put them in a thing of water and they'll chase them.
If I'm playing God, I'm going to do it up.
Okay. All right. Just before filming started, Linda Hamilton sprained her ankle.
Hey, shit.
And the running scenes were a little tough.
Plus, she's doing all that in, like, Converse. You know, no shock absorption.
And where did I write this? Arnold had less than 100 words?
14 lines.
Okay, okay.
I wrote it down.
All right.
14 lines in the whole movie.
I found that quite interesting when I read it. And so that I'll be back almost didn't happen. Let's see, where did I'm trying to find that. Because he didn't say anything.
And I feel like most of his lines were other people talking and him just mouthing it.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Right. Because, you know, he said exactly what the thugs said. He was talking like her mom. The only time we heard him is, you know, when he called the hotel, that hotel to get the address. He talked to the and it was just kind of like he was talking to himself, really.
Yeah.
But that was, I thought it was pretty interesting. But yeah, when he said, I'll be back, that was perfect. You know, he looked around, he'd scoped the whole place out. I'll be back. Now, why would a cyborg say something like that? You know?
Well, first of all, it sounded cool. Second of all, I think I don't think it was to be like a catchphrase. I think it was a warning.
Right. Right. And instead it turned into a huge thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't think that was ever made to be a catchphrase. I think that was made to be, you know, just a straight up warning to that cop.
Right.
And I don't think that cop even pretended to think that a car would come smashing through the lobby.
No, because he never even looked up all the time. You can't see her. First off, if you've got somebody that's in protective custody, you shouldn't have been saying that they were even there.
Right.
You know.
And did you notice he was filling all that paperwork out in pencil?
Yes.
That bothers me.
Official
paperwork in pencil?
Yeah. It looked like he was signing stuff too. Why would that be of interest to us? Why did the camera pan down to see, like, it was an obvious place where you'd sign something?
I don't know.
I don't know either. I didn't understand that.
Because the writing was so tight you couldn't read it.
Right. But it was an obvious place where you would sign something. There were lines.
Yeah.
And blank spaces.
He was definitely filling out a form.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So I don't
Yeah. I don't know why we needed to see any of that.
Yeah, I didn't exactly get that. So I don't know. It came with mixed reviews.
Okay.
But in the end it was what the people wanted, not what the reviewers. You know, sometimes I think, oh, reviews nothing. Those critics go in there with an agenda.
Oh, absolutely. Like I feel like they're reviewing every movie like it's going to win, you know, a shitload of awards.
Right.
This movie is never going to win an award.
No.
It's just not going to happen.
No, correct.
But was it cool as hell? Absolutely.
Yep. And if it got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, what the hell is that about?
Yeah.
I mean, we've watched some good movies that get anywhere near that.
Hitchcock does. Gets close to there.
Yeah,
but I don't think even Hitchcock had 100.
No. We should look that up. How many movies have gotten 100 on Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah. I'll do that. I'll
look that up now, Lexi. You've got the computer in front of you.
It's slow, though.
Oh, okay. That's okay. It's on its opening week, it made $4 million. And what would $4 million of 1984 money be now? Upwards of a billion?
Oh, probably. The 100% Club on Rotten Tomatoes. Let's go ahead. Okay, well, we'll go. Keep going. We'll go ahead when this goes ahead.
Okay, and it stayed in number one spot for 2 weeks, which that's pretty...
Only 2 weeks.
Yeah. Well, you know, what came out next.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, here, this Orion Studios only let critics come in for one screening. Maybe that's why...
It wasn't critically acclaimed.
It was not critically acclaimed. Yeah, yeah.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, interesting.
I got some.
Okay.
A movie called Leave No Trace. No idea what it means.
Nope. Never heard of it.
Toy Story 2. Very cute movie.
Heard of that one.
Man on a Wire.
That sounds familiar.
I've heard of it, but I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Mm-mm.
A movie called Honeyland. I don't know what that means.
Nope, never heard of it.
Minding the Gap, don't know what that
means.
Nope,
never heard of it.
His House, don't know what that means.
Mm-mm, nope.
The Philadelphia Story from 1940.
Oh, my. Oh, that just touched my soul.
This is a movie called 76 Days, kind of about the COVID-19 pandemic. That got 100%. Rip Camp?
Nope, neither of them.
Oh, boy, it's about a summer camp for kids with disabilities. It's called Crip Camp. That's terrible.
Oh, my God. Full.
A lot of movies I've never heard. Toy Story, the first Toy Story.
Okay.
One Cut of the Dead. Zombies Attack, a hack director and a film crew. Okay. Seven Samurai. Akira Kurosawa.
Nope, never heard of it.
Oh, okay. I've heard of Kurosawa.
Okay.
Taxi to the Dark Side. Never heard of it.
Mm, nope.
Singing in the Rain from 1952.
I've seen that.
Welcome to Chechnya. Never heard of it.
Nope.
A lot of movies I've never heard of.
Yeah. Well, I've heard of three of them.
The Terminator is number 28 on this list.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, I don't...
I've heard of two movies, and
the
I've
last
seen
picture
one of
show.
It.
I've heard of that.
I've heard of, that's yeah, I've heard of that.
Fritz Lang's M. I've heard of that.
No.
12 Angry Men from 1957.
Yes, I've heard of it. Never
Mad
seen
as hell.
It.
I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yep, I've never seen it before. But
1940s Pinocchio.
No. Well, okay.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Just a whole bunch of movies that, like, nobody's ever heard of.
And they're, most of them are like horror movies. Well, a whole bunch of them are like horror movies.
Cool Hand Luke.
Oh, I've seen that one.
Shadow of a Doubt, that's Hitchcock.
Mm-hmm.
Anatomy of a Murder, it's got Jimmy Stewart in it.
Yes, I've heard of that one.
Yeah. The Adventures of Robin Hood from 1938 with Errol Flynn.
Oh, my goodness. It's probably just because it had Errol Flynn in it.
Grapes of Wrath.
Yikes. I've never seen that movie. Mm. Only read part of the book in school.
I didn't read any of it. I couldn't.
Well, I only read enough to make the book reports.
I just like read off the back.
Oh, I've done that too.
Yeah, like all of these movies, like I've only heard of a few of them.
That's weird.
A lot of foreign films.
That is so weird.
Hmm.
A guy named Harlan Ellison said it was a ripoff of his Outer Limits show, Soldier.
Okay.
And Orion paid him off.
Ooh. Was it?
Well.
Or was it just easier to pay him off?
Probably the case of let's just, you know, shut you up with money. And there was also another Outer Limits one that said, story that he said someone said was theirs, but it never went forward. So, you know, but maybe something, you know, Outer Limits, that's pretty weirdo stuff. Maybe there was just enough to say, yeah, this is good.
Yeah, Outer Limits was like the CBS Twilight Zone.
Outer Limits, that yeah, just the music, come on, scare the hair off of you.
Yeah.
I've seen many of them. Many, 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 many. We watch that all the time. Yeah. So, craziness. Crazy, craziness.
What else you got?
Well, I've got stuff about, I'm down to the stuff about Cameron. I don't think that I wrote any trivia, knowing that you do, Here's where I have Arnold says less than 100 words. It's on the last page. Why would I have written that on the last page? Okay. Yeah. Okay. And he only made $75,000 on that movie.
Arnold did $75,000?
75 with three zeros.
That's 75,000.
Okay. 75,000. Because he didn't have any words. He didn't have any lines.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, that's wow. That's what it said on what I read. Crazy, huh?
Well, how much did Linda Hamilton make? Does it say?
I did not write that because...
Probably didn't say.
You know.
But
yeah.
But him being the biggest star of a $6 million movie, $75,000, that's a lot of money.
Especially when it was like in between a couple of other big movies.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's just like the weekend's work.
Yeah.
Huh. Whatever. Okay, Cameron married Linda Hamilton in 1977. 1997. What the heck did I say?
You said 77.
Wow, 1997.
Did you know that the date calling to cancel on Linda Hamilton in this movie on the answering machine is James Cameron?
No, really?
Yeah, I just read that.
Oh, cool. Cool, but they got together in 1993.
Okay.
He was married to a bunch of other people, you know. He was even married to Gail Ann Hurd.
Yeah.
For about, you know, 45 minutes.
Right. It's a long time in Hollywood.
4 years. Yeah, you betcha it is. He's an atheist. He's a vegan. He wants to go to space. But he did turn down the 2003 shuttle trip. He was offered to go in the shuttle in 2003. The Columbia disaster. He's been sued several times for copyright issues. Mostly all dismissed.
Oh, okay.
He's got an Academy. He got Academy Awards, BAFTA, Golden Globes. I mean,
did he get the Academy Awards for Titanic?
Yes.
Did you write that down?
Yes. Academy Awards, Titanic.
His Titanic was such a phenomenon.
Right. He has certainly, from a guy who, you know, nobody knew to today, he is beyond big.
Right.
He has done some of the biggest movies in, you know, in our time.
Did he do the Avatar movies?
Yes, he's got a
cat. Okay.
He got a cat. Avatar the Water. Something about.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, whatever. I've never seen, you know, I saw the Alien movie. Although it wasn't the Alien movie we saw.
No, he did the sequel.
It was the next Alien movie.
Yeah, he did Aliens.
Aliens.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. The Abyss?
We've talked about The Abyss. We've never watched it, but okay. We've talked about it. And I've watched it recently because Justin watches all these old movies and, I walk in the middle of them. He turns them on and leaves the room and I come home and end up watching half a movie by myself. What the hell am I watching? Okay, let me just keep watching it.
Here's another thing I have on the very last page.
Sure.
You know, we were wondering why Terminator didn't stay longer. Ghostbusters came out right after that.
Oh, okay.
So Ghostbusters was a little bit big.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was, a lot of, and I wrote a bunch of movies down, a bunch of big movies, movies that everybody knows. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
Gremlins.
Yeah.
Star Trek 3, Search for Spock.
Search for Spock, yeah.
Yeah, Purple Rain.
Yeah.
Those all came out in 1984.
Holy crap.
So that was a year of huge movies. I mean, in my estimation, I mean, I know all of the... I've seen Ghostbusters and I've seen Indiana Jones, but I've never seen any of the other ones.
Oh.
But I know that these were all gigantic movies.
You've never seen Gremlins?
No, uh-uh.
We watched Gremlins at school. Somebody brought it in to watch Gremlins at school, and the teacher was pissed when it was over. Because those Gremlins are fucking naughty.
Oh.
When they turn from Mogwai into Gremlins, they're fucking naughty.
Oh.
And the teacher was... It's rated like PG, but that's back when PG meant you could show boobs and say the F word.
Right, I guess so. Well, then shame on that teacher for allowing it to show a movie that they didn't know about. Shame on them, not shame on you kids.
No, she was pissed though. I remember that, and I was just so, it was so funny because it was just like, why'd you let us watch it?
Right. Right. And then I've got a recent death that, I'm up to that in my stuff.
Okay. Who's your recent death?
Louis Gossett Jr.
Oh, yeah.
He died, golly, now probably a couple of months ago now.
Yeah.
Because I would have been doing this a month ago before I got sick. He was the first black man to win a supporting actor Oscar.
Yeah.
I know who Louis Gossett Jr. is.
Oh, I can see him in my head.
Yep.
There's a joke on a Community when in third season the dean grows a goatee and he's going to be all business. He's not going to be fun dean anymore.
Yeah.
And somebody is just like, I'm cutting that stupid beard off your face. He's like, because you look like a white Lou Gossett Jr.
Oh, my goodness.
We did a TikTok, as we always do.
Yes.
And we've got some commentary. It is just so funny to me.
We got... Somebody wrote us something?
Yeah.
Yay!
One guy said... He quoted me saying, you don't hear dogs barking because I only have cats. He, I guess, thought that was hilarious.
Nice.
Which it is.
It is.
And he said, also watch the second one, Mom. Less thriller, more action.
Okay. All right, dude.
Someone else said... The second one is better.
Okay.
So that's our little bit of commentary from the people.
Then we have to put that on our list if they...
The second one isn't a cult classic. It is more fun to watch.
Oh, golly.
And that's the only reason I haven't put it on the list.
Yeah.
But it is really fun to watch.
Okay.
It's not going to win awards.
Yeah.
Edward Furlong is a little queen piece of shit. But the movie is really good.
Okay. All right. I'm okay with that then. If that somebody else says so, then I'll watch it. Okay.
In trivia, like I said, I hardly wrote anything down because it's all long form paragraphs.
Right.
One of the things I did write down though was that Arnold Schwarzenegger like worked hard at avoiding Michael Biehn and Linda Hamilton because he didn't want to his job in the movie was to kill them. He didn't want to be friends with them off set and then like have to pretend to kill them and have that friendship thing bleed in.
Okay. That method type acting thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Ooh.
Now that method acting I can get into, but like sending dead rats to people, that's fucking weird. It's so fucking weird, Jared Leto.
So is like Arnold Schwarzenegger like a real actor?
Like I think he was actually like trying. Like what? I think he was really trying to get a name for himself other than just, you know, Mr. Beefcake.
Right. And the fact that he was only 6'2". What the hell?
Yeah.
I'm never going to let that go, you know.
It's
Arnold Schwarzenegger was only 6'2".
I know.
Oh my God.
The camera would lead you to believe he's 7.5 feet tall.
Oh, at least. Yeah. He's like Goliath giant, you know, in my head.
Right.
Wow.
Only 6'2".
Wow.
That's me in heels.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
Okay, go on. Move on. Next.
James Cameron had to often resort to guerrilla filmmaking to get around permits and whatnot for filming.
I have read that. Yes.
This was also used for reshoots, with Cameron even calling and waking Arnold Schwarzenegger once at 3 a.m. to meet him at a location already in full costume to quickly reshoot a scene. Cameron also used this tactic to film the very last scene where Sarah drives off into the desert, waiting for the heat to rise to the point that ripples could be filmed on a highway.
Yes.
A patrolman appeared.
Oh, shit.
Gail Ann Hurd convinced this patrolman that they were working on a UCLA film project, and he allowed them to finish.
Oh, my God. Straight up lie.
Arnold worked with guns every day for a month to prepare for the role.
Oh, of course, because those were really high powered, and to control them would take a lot of knowledge and effort.
Right.
Okay.
The first 2 weeks of filming, he practiced weapon stripping and reassembly blindfolded until the motions were automatic like a machine.
Okay. Is Arnold Schwarzenegger like a real actor?
I guess, man.
Wow.
He spent hours at the shooting range and practicing with different weapons without blinking or looking at them when reloading or cocking. He also had to become ambidextrous.
Like a machine. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm impressed.
Yeah. Arnold Schwarzenegger was originally considered to play Kyle Reese.
Nope. Uh-uh. Wrong.
Cameron, however, had envisioned Reese as non-bulky and more of a sensitive man.
Right.
So he was less than enthusiastic to cast Mr. Universe.
Right, because Kyle Reese came out of the Resistance.
Right.
He wouldn't be bulky.
And
he
told
would be
you...
short on food. He would be short on sleep. You know.
Right. And at the beginning, you can tell the difference between what sent Arnold back and what sent Kyle Reese back. Because when Arnold comes in the electrical storm, he's in the fetal position on his feet and he's ready to stand up and rock and roll.
Right.
Kyle Reese, however, is just basically shat out of the sky, lands on his side, and is just kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
For a second.
Right, right. And there wasn't the big fireworks display that Arnold came in on.
No. So, you know, there was definitely more, you know, I guess, would it be sentience in Arnold's being sent?
Sure.
Transportation?
Sure. Yeah, that.
Than there was for Kyle Reese's, and you can tell that's the lack of resource.
Right, exactly. Like I said, he came from the Resistance. He would not have had all of the advantages.
Right. They probably used all of their resources to send him back. There
right.
probably was no way back for him.
Well, he said that. He said there's no going back. He said that to her.
Oh, yeah, you're right, he did.
I can't go back. There's no way. Right. Interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Okay. Wow.
But James Cameron and Arnold Schwarzenegger have been good friends since this movie.
Okay. That even seems reasonable.
There's a director trademark. Somebody gets bit on the hand by another character. When Kyle and Sarah are in the first car together and she bites the shit out of him.
Yeah, because remember she had blood on her lips and I just...
She had it on her teeth. It was gross.
I know. I thought...
Yeah.
Ooh. What, that's his trademark?
Apparently, in every movie gets bit
on the hand?
Aliens and it happens in the Abyss. Apparently it happens.
I'll be darned.
Is there more? Oh, there's more. James Cameron got the idea of giving Arnold even fewer lines than Conan the Barbarian. In Conan the Barbarian, Arnold only had 24 lines.
Cool.
In this one, he only had 14.
Right. Less than 100 words is what he said.
On an afternoon break during filming, Schwarzenegger went to a restaurant in downtown LA to get some lunch and realized all too late that he was still in full Terminator makeup, missing an eye with an exposed jawbone and burnt flesh.
Oh. But do you think anybody even noticed? I mean, don't they see stuff like that
often? I feel like that's the only time actors like actually go out and get noticed.
Yeah.
There's a couple episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where they're making sequels to the Lethal Weapons movies, but there's no black character in the gang.
Uh-huh.
So one of the guys is in full blackface. And it's,
oh my God.
You know, and it's funny because they're terrible people, and you know that they're terrible people, and you know that they have zero qualms with going in full blackface because it's just their kind of funny. It's funny to me, so I'm going to do it.
Right. They're
awful. But that's
people,
the
right?
Only time that actor got hurt on set was when he was doing the full blackface role and he had to go to the hospital. In full blackface.
Oh my God! Oh man.
So I feel like that's the only time actors really, really get noticed by the public is in completely inopportune moments like that.
Right.
Like,
well, and that makes sense because, you know, like, okay, so Arnold went to get lunch. He's working. He just went to get lunch. That's all. You know,
you can't take all that shit off to go for a half hour break.
Well, I'm sure you can. I mean, but still,
the time to put it back on? No.
Yeah,
absolutely
but still,
not.
When you're working, and it sounds like he's like a working actor. What the hell, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to lunch. Okay. Nobody thought another thing of it.
No. Let me see what else is here. Michael Biehn almost didn't get the role of Kyle Reese because in his first audition, he spoke in a Southern accent as a result of working on a part for a stage production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof that he didn't even get the role in. But the producers mentioned that they liked his performance. The producers were talking to his agent and they're like, we liked his performance, but we didn't like the accent. And the agent was just like,
what accent?
Yeah, he doesn't have an accent. And they called him back for another audition and he got the part.
Oh my gosh. See, we were talking about that. That accent makes a difference.
Arnold Schwarzenegger had his eyebrows insured by Lloyd's of London as he feared that they might not grow back properly after he shaved them for the scene where he runs over a car on fire in the alley. After the tech noir shootout,
we talked about that. Them off.
Holy
crap! They weren't
crap.
Just covered.
They looked covered up.
Well, they looked covered. Yes, we decided that they were covered, but he shit. Oh boy, a good thing he insured them because they might not have come back.
Oh Lord.
Ooh.
The puppet of his face took 6 months to create.
Oh, they call it a puppet. We called it a wax figure.
It's a rubber mask.
Yeah, rubber mask. That's what we called it. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Shaved his eyebrows. I can't even imagine.
The production made t-shirts saying, "You can't scare me. I work for James Cameron." So apparently he was a tough boss.
Wow. Okay. I've never read anything like that. Usually that's like some of the stuff that comes out in everything you read about them.
Of all the films Arnold Schwarzenegger has done, The Terminator is his favorite.
Interesting. Probably because it was straight up power.
Before the Terminator attacks Sarah in the police station, the cop states that there are 30 police officers in the station. If you count the cops that the Terminator kills on screen and the bursts of fire that he shoots off for off-screen targets, it adds up to 30. However, the sequel, Terminator 2 Judgment Day, reveals that 17 officers were confirmed dead in the end.
Only 17?
Of the 30. That's okay. More than half.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I seem like that there were more than that because he was just, you know.
He was just firing at anything.
Yeah, but there were a lot of people ducking and dodging, so okay, wow.
Apparently Sarah Connor is only 18 years old in this movie. Linda Hamilton looked much older than that.
Oh, yeah, that's a continuity error.
This is retroactively proven in the sequel Terminator 2 Judgment Day, where Dr. Silberman says Sarah is 29 years old. When the T-1000 checks John Connor's profile, it states that he's 10 years old, having been born when Sarah was 19.
Okay.
In the movie, John Connor in T2, I mean, I would have guessed him probably closer to 13 or 14, because the actor himself was probably closer to 18. But I had always figured he was a little bit more than 10, being a big old shithead like he was.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but okay.
I mean, when you watch the movie, you have to remember that the main character is a 10-year-old boy and not what you think would be probably about 14.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I don't think I've ever really thought about that at all until like right now. And it's kind of boggling my mind.
Okay.
Because I kind of always wondered how that worked, just time-wise.
But it, on paper, it works.
Sure. In movie land, it works.
Right.
Now, did you see at the end, and this is a big part of Terminator 2, the arm that's reaching for Sarah when she crushes him in the hydraulic machine?
Yes.
That arm that's hanging out? That arm is saved, and somebody called Miles Tennant Dyson is in custody of it. And like that's part of what the good Arnold goes back for, is to get that arm and destroy it. Because if you have whatever can create this, the world is over.
Okay. Well, why didn't they save the crushed part? They could have picked that all apart and...
I guess the theory is that stuff was just too damaged.
Okay.
But that arm, that full...
It was...
fingertip to shoulder.
Right. It was completely intact.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Oh, and my tablet just went shitty. So, but we've talked for an hour.
Oh, God, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we didn't talk about our breakfast, did we?
No, we didn't.
We did talk. We talked about it on TikTok, but we didn't on here.
We were going to have just something that we scavenged together, you know, just like a Panera sandwich that is just like
because we
fresh herbs and shit,
right? Because we look, you know, the resistance, not a lot of food, blah blah blah, you know.
Yeah,
but then
Justin last night, he's like, what are you guys eating tomorrow? And I said, oh, we're going to get Panera, you know, because it's like scavenger style and, you know, like herbs and roots and shit. And he's just like, well, you guys aren't even trying anymore. And I said, how dare you? And he said, I think Sarah Connor works at a diner. You should have like diner food. He's like, I'm pretty sure she works at a diner. So I'm on the phone with Mom. I'm like, Mom, we got to change ideas.
Absolutely. I'm all for diner food.
So we had diner food for breakfast. And really, she worked for more of like a, what we would call a big boy.
Yeah.
Midwesterners.
Here in Ohio, it's Frisch's Big Boy.
Frisch's Big Boy.
Yeah.
In the movie, it was Big Jeff's.
Yeah.
But it was the same concept.
Right. And the statue out front was a big boy.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and I... I think the one on Alexis is still open. I think it is. It used to be next. Brownstone Tavern used to be next door to it. It's in front of the Staples, next to the gas station, not directly in front of the Kroger.
Just can't even see anything over there. Yeah. You know, the Target, Cub Food used to be in there. No, that was Catty Corner. I can't see it.
Yeah.
But I do know the one in Maumee is still open. And I would have gone there if we had known.
Right.
But the diner food was okay.
Diner food was fine.
We got the same food at the diner that we would have got at Frisch's Big Boy.
Absolutely.
Scrambled eggs, bacon, toast. It's the exact same thing.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yep.
And it was delicious.
It was. We've had Mayberry food on our show before, and you know, they cook good.
Yeah, they should be paying us.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, and like I said in the TikTok, we didn't take any pictures because halfway through the meal, I'm shoving food into my face and I'm like, oh, well, we didn't get a picture.
Yeah, I had a piece of bacon and some scraps left on my plate. I had eaten almost everything. So. Sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Just get the idea of what scrambled eggs and bacon and hash browns look like.
Exactly.
There you go.
There it is. Yeah. Maybe we should have looked in our files and sent a picture of something else. Some other exact breakfast that we've eaten. Because we like breakfast. We've had breakfast many times.
It's one of my favorite meals.
Yep. Absolutely. I like it more for dinner than breakfast. But
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of food. And I don't usually eat that much food at breakfast. So. But love it.
Yeah.
So have breakfast for dinner tonight.
Breakfast for dinner.
Yeah.
And we have got to jump on another movie.
Yes.
We are a little more prepared than we usually are.
Yes. Go figure. Now we've got a second movie in the pipeline, too. We have to do Terminator 2.
Yeah. Terminator 2 is not a cult classic, so it's never been on my radar because of that.
Right.
But it is one of those movies. It's just really fun to watch.
Okay, should we break our trend and do something off?
Could do that just because, you know, for the sequel factor. And I feel like you need to watch T2 to understand Terminator a little bit better.
The whole story of...
Because you see Sarah Connor as a young woman just kind of flailing through life, thrust into something that she can't understand in her full arc into...
Resistance fighter.
Yeah. Fuck with me, I dare you.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty cool.
Okay. I'm okay with that.
John Connor is annoying.
Okay.
You will want to hit him.
All right. Okay. But he grows up okay, it sounds like.
Well, he has to.
Yeah.
He's got a resistance to lead.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So
tell him about the movie we're going to watch next.
The next movie we're going to watch is Bubba Hotep. It's a Don Coscarelli movie starring Bruce Campbell, friend of the pod, Bruce Campbell.
Yes. And this is a movie that my sister-in-law, Christine, said we need to watch.
And this movie has been on my list for a long time because it's a Justin movie. It's one of his favorites. He just watched it the other day.
Yep. And I know for a fact that JFK and the King are still alive.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, I know. I know that. Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Okay.
It's got a mummy in it too.
A mummy?
A mummy.
Oh, a mummy. You mean there's a mummy at the old age home too?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Well, that sounds like a pretty damn fun old age home.
Well, the mummy's trying to kill him.
Oh, oh. Oh. Oh dear. That's not good.
It's not a good mummy.
Okay.
It's a vengeful one.
Ow. Okay. Maybe I don't want to watch this. But Chris says this is one of her favorite movies, and she keeps giving us movies. So, Chris, this one's for you.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. Anything else going on? Anything going on in the world?
Oh, you know, the strife in. Oh, is today the anniversary of Kent State?
Could be.
That might be 40 years, 50 years. I don't know. And, you know, and of course, it comes to the head for this whole Palestine thing. That,
yeah, the May 4th massacre. Also, it's Star Wars Day. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you, too. With all the strife on college campuses and stuff. And, you know, Kent State was just a horrible, frightening incident that just grew out of hand so quickly that, you know, whatever. But
it, something like that should never have happened.
Right. Exactly.
And unfortunately, shit. Unfortunately, now with the protests on college campuses and the constant threat of, you know, we're going to call the National Guard.
Right.
It's just like, go ahead and kill a bunch of kids. Go ahead and kill a bunch of kids that don't agree with what's happening in the world. Go ahead. Like, it's like you haven't done it before.
But like, exactly. Like the president said, there's room for peaceful protest.
Absolutely.
There is not room for what's happening now.
I don't agree with the destruction of property.
No.
I don't agree with any of that. But, you know, camping on the front lawn at the university, absolutely. Go ahead and do it.
Right. Right. Peaceful there's room for peaceful protest. But what has grown into, and like so many people say, it's outsiders coming in and rabble-rousing. And
it's bad faith actors.
Right. Right. It's not students that, well, the students get caught up in it. You
right.
know, because that's, you know, that's what young people do. They get caught up and they think that this is the way to, you know, it's not.
This is that whole thing, the Black Lives Matter protests
right.
and everybody crying about Antifa, 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 Antifa. Do you know who Antifa is? Antifa are regular ass people that don't agree with fascism.
Right.
And fascistic acts.
Right.
They're not the ones setting buildings on fire.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So why are we so concerned about what Antifa is doing? Why aren't we concerned with people setting buildings on fire?
Right. Right. And that's what I've heard along with some of this reporting. The students, when they get to the police station, the students of the college that they are working on, they're released to the college because they're students of the college. The rest of the people are not, and they shouldn't have been there. And those are the people that are the rabble rousers. Those are the people that are getting everybody worked up.
Right.
So, you know, yeah, keep them, you know.
And unfortunately, we're in a position where those kids aren't wrong.
But how do you know what part of your investments are in this country or that country or this or that? I don't. You know, how can they even define that? I don't know. I don't know. Do you think I'm crazy?
No, I think you're being a little too noncommittal.
Oh. No, I don't know. I don't.
Because I think there are very, very clear lines about what is happening in the Middle East that should absolutely not be happening. And the fact that we're providing
no
weapons
now,
and money to
now that part
war
is
criminals
is government part. I'm
is
talking
crazy.
They keep saying you got to these colleges got to divest of anything that's you know adding to that. How do I know what part of my you know
oh.
IRA is going to weapons? I don't you know is that something I can check into?
I'm sure you could. I know for a fact that part of my investment, the investment that we have set up for what is considered Justin's retirement, is Raytheon stock.
Oh, it would be the, oh, okay.
You can see what kind of stocks you're buying.
But
Raytheon is one of the major ones.
But on the other hand, Raytheon does more than just weaponry. You know, they
okay.
You know, don't they?
Not really.
Okay. I don't.
They might say that they do, but it's pretty much his weapons.
Okay. Well, then I guess I don't know. I don't, you know, how do you know that answer? And I would think that a college would have massive, massive amounts of investment. So, you know, whose job is that to search through all of that?
Right.
I don't
have an answer for that.
Right.
But I do agree with the kids protesting. There is very, very clear lines that are being crossed. And
correct.
And that nothing is being done about. Where is the ICC? Where is NATO?
You know, that's what I wondered. They keep saying that hundreds of trucks.
Where is the United Nations?
Right. Hundreds of trucks every day are going into Palestine with supplies. Why aren't the people?
Why are the people starving?
Because they're being held in warehouses that are controlled by Hamas.
Okay. Are they, though?
Well, that's the thinking. That's the thinking. Where is this food that's going in there every day going if it's not going into somebody's warehouse and not getting to the people?
I don't think it's going in. I think you can say that there's a truck full of shit going anywhere and not really have a truck full of shit going anywhere.
Well, now, you know what? That's the very basic thing that I didn't even think about because they showed pictures of trucks going in.
I can.
But that
I
doesn't
can
mean they're those
put
trucks.
Put a truck with a sign on it that says humanitarian aid and send it anywhere I feel like. Am I actually sending humanitarian aid? Absolutely not.
Well, see, that's the difference between us. I'd like to think that it is humanitarian aid.
I personally am of the opinion that Netanyahu is just trying to turn Palestine into a parking lot.
Yes.
And he will stop at nothing to do so. And his peace plans,
he doesn't have the peace
include
plan.
Israel's takeover of Palestine. That's not a peace plan. That is an act of war.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. He is a power hungry, greedy man. Yeah.
And why we're still giving money to him is shocking.
Yep.
You know, we're worried about the humanitarian aid in Gaza, but we're still supplying guns and bombs and money for guns and bombs to the oppressors.
Right. But they won't send anything to fight against Putin. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I feel like the Ukraine cause was a cause du jour. You know what I mean?
Yep. Absolutely.
And now that it's gone on for as long as it has and nothing has changed, people are just kind of tired of it.
Yeah.
It's still not any less important that they're fighting for their right. freedom. It's not any less important that they need all of the aid that they can get.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like especially yeah. our members of our Congress are just like, we have given these people
yep.
billions of dollars. What have they done with it? What do they have to show for it? And they're fighting against a superpower. What do you want them to show for it?
Exactly. Exactly. That one little tree is fighting against the wind.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand. I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't agree that Hamas started the Israel conflict, but I don't.
Oh, good.
I don't
no.
agree that Israel has taken it as fucking far as they
right.
have.
Right.
And I'm sure a lot of people are going to be upset about this.
Yes. And
because it is so polarizing. But I feel like, you know, as a person who has the right to pursue life, liberty, and happiness, I feel like everybody in the world should have that basic right.
Right.
And being bombed to shit every day isn't having that right.
Nope. No, it's not. And, you know, like I say, everyone is entitled to their opinion. And absolutely. That's okay.
Feel free to disagree with
absolutely. Me. Absolutely. And your opinion is just as right or wrong as my opinion is right or wrong. So, you know, you are allowed to have your opinion, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And I understand that you have an opinion, but I also have an opinion.
Yeah. It's just, we are in such trying times.
Right.
That there is no right answer.
No.
To solve any of the world's problems.
No, absolutely not. No.
And unfortunately, nobody is going to work together to pretend to have a right answer. And that's where we are now. And that's what's so frustrating.
Right.
Is that nobody is willing to work together to find a common fix.
Right. And those two hot spots are not the only hot spots in the world that are having trouble. You know, there's people fighting against the other guy everywhere.
Everywhere.
You know, every day there's someone that's...
There are wars in Africa that have been going on for hundreds of years.
Just like Palestine and Israel. That's been going on for eons.
You know, Mexico is overrun by cartels.
Mm-hmm.
South America, not faring much better.
Right.
You know, something is happening all over
everywhere.
The world.
Yeah. There is strife everywhere in the world today.
And here in the U.S., we're arguing about two old idiots fighting for the same job.
Oh my God. Yeah. Exactly. And then we have people, crazy people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's just stirring the pot. Oh, man.
I did read an article the other day. Like, I read, like, I saw her. Like, I watched a video of her speaking about unseating Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House. And I just was like, she's so stupid. And she doesn't understand she's so stupid.
No.
But it just is mind-boggling that people can listen to a person like her talk and be like, that woman's on to something. That woman has her finger on the pulse.
I don't get it.
She is full-on batshit crazy.
Yeah. And the only thing I have to say to her is, Marjorie, put on a little lipstick. Your lips are awful.
I love when she's pictured with books, because it's just like, she knows how to read.
Can she read those?
I don't know.
And she keeps getting voted back.
And I don't understand. I don't. And I wonder if, like, local politics, like where she's concerned, you know, like her little jurisdictions. Like, I wonder if stuff like that is like what we're dealing with on the national scale. Like, two dummies that neither of them are going to do a great job. One of them is going to actively do harm to the country.
Yeah.
The other one is just kind of a bumbling idiot.
How does one get in and the other not?
Why are we fighting over two dummies? Why don't we have a viable candidate anywhere? Why are there no viable candidates anywhere in any one election at any given time?
I don't think so.
Oh, my God.
And J.D. Vance thinks he might be in the running for VP. Really?
Did you hear about the lady from, I don't know, like South Dakota or whatever, that Christy Nome?
Oh, my God.
And her mouth. She couldn't train a dog to be a bird dog, so she just shot it.
Yeah.
She shot it herself.
Right. Right. I don't.
What?
And if you can't train your dog, that's your fault, not the dog's fault.
Give it to a family that will have a fun pet.
Right. Trade it in and get a different one. That's what you do.
Get an actual bird dog.
But on the other hand, now, I don't think this, but. This is a reasonable thing. This is a farm area, very rural. And what do you do when you have a problem with an animal? You put it down. That's what they do.
That's
the way
you did back when there were no options. And then you probably ate the fucking dog. Now you just throw it in a pit. It's fucked up. It's gross.
It is. It's awful.
Now you have the option to rehome it. You could have just put on your Facebook page, need to rehome little doggy.
Right.
And boom, it's gone. Problem solved.
Right. Right.
In the information age, there is no excuse for something like that.
I'm offering a different thought.
I understand that hard choices have to be made on a farm.
Yes.
But we are not on a farm in the middle of fucking nowhere anymore with no power and no gas and nothing else.
I understand that, honey, but maybe
absolutely
farm
not.
People think differently.
Was the dog lame in any way?
No. No, she said it was aggressive. It had bit her. Well,
if you're an asshole to your dog and it bites you, it's not the dog's fault.
Right, correct. I agree.
Sometimes the common denominator is you.
Right. And she wrote this in her book thinking that that was a good story.
A great story about life on the farm. Fuck you, Christy Gnome. I hope you die.
Yeah, I can't hardly believe it. What? I don't understand.
I hope somebody takes you out back, bitch.
Ay, okay. Calm down, Lexi. Calm down.
Oh, makes me sick.
It does. I just don't understand.
And the fact that all these crazy Republican people are like, well, she's a great person. Is she a great person? She kills animals. It seems like she likes to do it.
Sounds like it because she's talking about it in her book.
She's talking an awful lot about it.
That just doesn't seem like anything that I would write down. Whatever. No.
That is a skeleton I would leave in my closet.
Absolutely. Because there's plenty in there to keep it company. Yeah. I get it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. I know.
People and the way they treat animals upsets me.
It does. Because?
Because I would kill anybody that came into my house and just disrespected one of my animals.
Right. That's not.
You just disrespect my animals, I'm going to hurt you.
Right. They are living creatures. They deserve better.
I'm going to send you home in pieces.
Right. I agree with you. And it just hurts my heart to see that there's so many people who don't care.
Oh, it's sickening.
Oh, we're going to move. We're not taking these cats. Put them out the door. They'll be fine. They're animals. No, they're not going to be fine.
No.
They've never had to hunt for their meal. They've never had to protect themselves against a predator. No, it's not fine.
Speaking of which, here's a lighthearted story to bring us back down.
Okay. Good. We need it.
The other morning, Justin was off, so he had gotten up and he fed Butterscotch. Butterscotch is an orange cat that lives in the neighborhood, and she comes to our porch and we feed her. She lets us touch her, and it's fine. We're fine with it. We are fine with Butterscotch. We are fine that Butterscotch brings friends with her periodically.
This is her breakfast stop.
It is one of her breakfast stops. I think that she has many houses she has.
And that's okay, too.
And because she is fine with humans touching her.
Yep.
When it was cold and I tried to kidnap her, I picked her up and she didn't bite me.
Right. Until you got to the door.
Until I put her in the house and she was just like, what? Anyways, she has her boundaries and I respect that.
Yep.
So I'm getting ready to go out to work and Butterscotch is there and I say, hi, baby. And I give her some pets. And Justin said, oh, I gave her some food, but give her some cookies. Because I already gave her some food. And I said, okay. So I came back in the house and grabbed some cookies and I took them out and I put them down for her and I gave her some rubs. And I said, I got to go to work, baby. I'll see you tomorrow or I'll see you when I see you. And I walk out and there's a cat sitting by my front passenger tire. And I've got my hands out. I've got my hands all the way open. I'm like, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to touch you. Go to the porch. And meow real loud. The front door is open. Daddy will come out and give you some food. And I didn't see where that cat darted off to. But I heard rustling in the bushes. So I was like, okay, now I got to be careful backing this car out of this driveway. So I'm backing out of the driveway and I pull onto the street. And because it's, before dawn, I'm sitting in the middle of the street with my car running. And I'm looking at my front porch. And Butterscotch is on the porch. And And this other cat had come up, and it's by the stairs. But Butterscotch has moved down by the stairs also. And I said, what the hell's going on? There is a goddamn raccoon dancing around my porch, eating Butterscotch's cookies. So I know that the front door is open. So I roll my window down, and I'm like...
In your car, on the street, shouting into your house.
So then he didn't respond. And so I call him on the phone. I said, Justin, you got to get up. There's a raccoon on the porch that scared Butterscotch off. And he's just like, God damn it. So it takes him a minute, but he comes out. He's got a pot in his hand, and he starts banging the pot on the stoop, and the raccoon runs away. And Butterscotch and her friend are at the foot of the steps like, I don't know if I want to be involved in this.
No, they're just watching the show.
They didn't move. They're both just sitting there like, but it was just.
They're just watching the waiting for what next. What happens next? What's the second show here?
The 9:30 show is different than the 7:30.
Oh my God.
But when the raccoon jumped off the porch, I waved and I just drove off. But it was just dancing along the porch, just having the time of its life. Just raccoon dancing on the porch. I said, you son of a bitch.
Get away from here.
You're not allowed up here.
And now let me explain a little. Lexi lives on a very busy street.
Very busy street.
And so her parked on the out on the street yelling into the house is really funny. But in the middle of the night, there's not as much traffic.
When I did start driving, it was because there were lights coming. And I was just like, oh, I really do need to start moving now. But I was sitting in the middle of what should be traffic for about 5 minutes, just watching, waiting for Justin to come outside, watching what was happening, and then waving goodbye.
Oh, my God.
And anymore, it doesn't matter what time of day it is. Oh, there is no traffic at all. There's a Facebook page I followed that was talking about, you know, how hard it is to merge onto 75. And I'm like, have you been on 475 at 4 a.m? It's fucking stupid. Like, not only do I have to worry about the trucks that don't get over for you, you have to worry about the cars that don't give a shit about moving either.
Right. I don't understand.
And I understand. I understand the trucks have a job to do, so I'm not too pressed about them. But the fucking cars,
right,
get out of the way.
And how hard is it to get over?
Oh.
It's not hard to get over. Oh, sorry, baby. I scared
No,
him.
Scared. Daddy's home.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yep.
I thought it was when I jerked my glasses. I scared him. Oh, my God. That's funny.
Yeah.
Here comes a guy bigger than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. Can you believe that?
I'm never going to let that go.
It's crazy.
I'm never going to let that go, Alexis. Never.
I'm sorry I put that in your head.
Oh, my God. So, yeah. Okay. Well, we've had our serious conversation. And, you know, and please, if you have an opinion, I will listen. I'll listen to it.
Yeah.
And
email
I will.
Mom at Movies With My Mother.
Yep. And I will completely understand and say, well, now I think and tell you my side.
But if you think Christy Noem is a good person, don't even bother writing.
Because we've already given up on that. That we know is incorrect. We know it's incorrect. So don't bother.
Yeah. We hate you.
No. Lexi, now don't be mean.
People that like us and understand that animals are our friends.
Yes.
I like those people.
I like them. Because they like animals.
Yeah.
Yes. They had a little wallaby on one of the shows I was watching.
Oh.
And it was so pretty. It was white and it had these fiery red eyes. It was just so pretty. And it lost its mom.
Oh.
But they saved it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So we love animals.
Yeah.
Be kind.
Be kind to animals.
Spay and neuter your animals.
Yeah.
Please. I'll be Bob Barker for the day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got a movie for next time.
Yeah. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. Until then. Bye.
Bye-bye.